Space might be the final frontier, but getting there can be an expensive proposition. Private companies have been doing more work beyond the Earth's orbit, from Elon Musk's SpaceX to Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin to many others, both big and small. In fact, estimates show between $14 to $20 billion in private investment going to space every year, which is similar to the budget for NASA. A new master's program at the Thunderbird School of Global Management at ASU reflects that increased interest. Greg Autry was recently hired as a clinical professor of space leadership, policy, and business there, and he joins me to talk more about this. And Greg, what exactly does space leadership, policy, and business entail?
Right. As you may know, space is a hot topic now, both at the governmental level, with NASA's Return to the Moon program, Artemis, and Space Force, as well as the commercial space industry, where companies that are in the news like SpaceX and Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic are doing some pretty dramatic things with human transportation. But beyond that, there's a booming satellite launch industry, data industry, Earth imaging. We need business leaders who are capable of stepping into this global marketplace and leading space companies into the future. The investment climate in space is particularly hot right now, particularly in what we call the SPAC world, a new easy way to go public for companies. And that was first launched with a Virgin Galactic IPO a year ago that went well.
What do business leaders and business folks who deal in the space realm need to know or need to be able to do that, you know, folks who are more terrestrial in their business dealings maybe don't?
You know, I think that would be like saying, why do tech leaders need classes in tech entrepreneurship? And frankly, we think that they do, which is why Thunderbird's launching a new global technology leadership program, of which space will be a component of that. But understanding what's unique about the space market, and a lot of it is very unique, not just the physics and the engineering of it, but the regulatory environment, for instance, with space is very unique for national security and geopolitical reasons that don't apply to smartphones, for instance.
So you reference the satellite industry, and as we've seen, there are a lot of satellites that are going up into space now. Are you anticipating that they will continue to do different things and maybe be looking at and looking for different kinds of things than the types of satellites that we have seen going up into space in years past?
We're going to be doing a lot of the same things, but doing them much better. So, for instance, some of us may have used satellite internet in the past and found it to be a little bit slow and kind of chunky. It had latency because those satellites were 25,000 miles away. SpaceX's new Starlink constellation and a future constellation from Amazon and OneWeb, a British Indian conglomeration, promised to deliver very responsive high-speed internet to every location on Earth. So that means you're on a cruise ship, you'll finally have decent internet connection. But if you happen to live on a South Pacific island or in sub-Saharan Africa in a remote location, or you're traveling down the Amazon or crossing Antarctica, you're going to have brilliant internet all the time. That is a huge game changer for a lot of people and a lot of companies. When it comes to Earth imaging, we had that for years, and weather satellites, but it didn't work the way that it worked on James Bond movies or TV shows, where you could see the place that you wanted to in nearly real time at any time. That's really not actually possible, even for the U.S. military or security services. It's frustratingly difficult to image every location on Earth at the same time, but commercial companies are stepping up to do that with mega constellations of thousands of satellites, and we'll be able to eventually see every point on Earth, at least within the last hour. That's a huge thing if I'm a farmer trying to find out where my agricultural irrigation problem is in a dry climate, or I'm a oil pipeline operator trying to find out where my leak might be, or we want to know where a ship or an airplane has gone to that we can't account for. All of those things would be huge game changers. And if you understand space, you'll see the opportunities that your business can grab to take advantage of that, or where you should be launching a new business.
You referenced how hot space is right now. How big of a business opportunity is this industry?
Current estimates place the size of the global space economy at about $400 billion, which actually makes it substantially bigger, for instance, than the smartphone app business. But most people don't see that. estimates from Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, and others place the size of the space economy in the next 20 years between $1 and $3 trillion.
Are there other schools that are doing stuff like this that are looking into space business like you're starting to do?
Yeah, I can tell you, I had the unique opportunity of recently being nominated as chief financial officer of NASA. And when 2020 dysfunction resulted in the Senate not having a confirmation vote, I got a lot of offers from schools that were interested in somebody with known expertise on the finances and business of the commercial space industry. There is a lot of interest in that, which there hasn't been before. But nobody really has the level of commitment to space exploration and to development that I've seen from Arizona State University broadly.
So I'm curious about the integration with what you're going to be doing with what ASU has been doing, because they, of course, have, as you referenced, a very strong space program. They have been working on NASA missions and other kinds of space exploration. How do you see what you're doing on the business side and what other departments at ASU on the science side do?
Right. So you've got the Interplanetary Initiative and you've got the Earth and Space Exploration Program. Those are generally science and engineering focused, but the reality is, as the movie told us, no bucks, no Buck Rogers, right? So somebody has to pay for all this, and doing more science through public-private partnerships is something that the government has caught on to. So NASA and DOD are very enthused about working with commercial companies in order to take their space missions a lot further, a lot faster.
What to you is the next big thing in space business?
Wow, that's a tough question. There are so many exciting things happening in the space business, but the current focus is really on the moon. And I'm happy to have been one of the people to help set the direction of returning to the moon as a national agenda. I'm also particularly pleased to see that for the first time in a long time, we've had a presidential transition where space policy appears to be continuous. So that's exciting, and the opportunities for companies to exploit lunar resources and do some amazing things on the moon are wide open.
All right. Greg Autry is clinical professor of space leadership, policy, and business at the Thunderbird School of Global Management at ASU. Greg, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.